From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A safe space to sleep can be life-saving for infants, but families who are homeless or pressed for resources may turn to unsafe alternatives, like sharing a bed or using the couch. We hear from Chantel Roberts, whose two-year-old daughter died 6 years ago. Roberts has made it her mission to educate parents, especially in the face of a spike in sleep-related infant deaths in Baltimore this year.
Some of these sleep-related deaths, the parents either are not informed on what the best practices are, or they just don't have a mechanism for the baby to sleep in to practice safe sleep.
Plus, Tracy Kodak, president of Healthcare Access Maryland, tells us how the nonprofit connects low-income mothers and mothers-to-be to services. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Diapers, bottles, onesies, pacifiers, babies need a lot of things, including a safe place to sleep. For some families, the cost of a crib may be out of reach. For others, the birth may have come sooner than expected. And if a baby spends the night away from home, a safe place to sleep is needed because cribs aren't very portable. It can be a matter of life and death. In 2009, when Baltimore's infant mortality rate was fourth highest in the nation, nearly one-fifth of those deaths, 27, were sleep-related. Since then, the city's infant mortality rate has dropped significantly. So have sleep-related infant deaths, although there's been an uptick this year. In the first 3 months of 2017, there have been 6 infant deaths suspected to be sleep-related, a frightening increase compared with 7 suspected cases for all of last year. Joining me to talk about keeping babies safe while they sleep is Chantel Roberts, executive director of the nonprofit Touching Young Lives. She is the Safe Sleep Coordinator for Healthcare Access Maryland in Baltimore City under the Be More for Healthy Babies Safe Sleep Initiative. Last month, Chantel Roberts won a $25,000 prize from the Johns Hopkins Social Innovation Lab. Welcome to On the Record.
Thanks for having me.
It's so nice to have you. Tell us about the portable alternative crib. What does it look like?
The Finnish had been using what they call the baby box since the early 1930s. And it was used to combat instances of sudden infant death syndrome amongst their maternal population. What they did, which I thought was very innovative, even back in the 1930s, was they distributed to each mom that had a baby a baby box. And this box was a simple cardboard box with padding at the bottom, and they loaded it with various infant care items to start that parent or that caregiver on their journey. And they've done it in such a way and for so long that it's now become a cultural norm. I learned about it coming into the United States by way of Dr. Hare at Temple University Hospital. So at Temple University Hospital for the last year, every mom that was discharged received a baby box. At discharge, the nurse would educate her on the proper practices and safe sleep education, and they all were afforded a safe sleeping space for their baby.
Safe sleep education.
So safe sleep essentially is what the Academy of American Pediatrics recommends that an infant should sleep in their first year of life. And what we use most often is the acronym ABCD. A, that the baby should sleep alone. No blankets, pillows, toys, stuffed animals, or co-sleeping. B, that the baby should sleep on their back and not their belly. C, the baby should sleep in a crib and not an adult bed or a car seat or any other device that is not a secure, firm, and flat surface. And D, no smoke. So we always want to educate on second and third hand smoking. Second hand being smoke in a home without ventilation. And third hand, which is we're seeing increasingly more common, is when someone thinks they're actually doing a really good thing and going outside to smoke, but it gets into their clothes and their skin and their hair, and they come back inside and they hold the baby, and the baby actually can get contact that way as well.
The box itself, the portable alternative crib, mm-hmm. is what size?
It is about 26 inches long. So it's about the same size as a traditional bassinet. It weighs less and it's more portable because of that. The Baby Box Co., which is the company that I've opted to go with, they've tested them. They've tested them as bassinets. So it's gone under the same testing mechanisms that all certified and verified companies have used for their bassinet usage.
And what is it about the box that keeps a baby safer than alternatives might be?
It's more of a convenience, and specifically for some populations, our most vulnerable populations, the homeless and transient that don't necessarily have a lot of space to work with or that move often, that no matter wherever they go, they can take with them their most prized possessions and also have a safe sleeping space for their babies. But also for moms that are able to afford a full nursery and multiple gadgets to place their child, they're able to have something lightweight and that they can carry around the house.
Carrying it around the house. So that's an important aspect of it.
Very much so. Because there are oftentimes, you know, we're tired, we're new parents, we may fall asleep on the couch, or we may need to cook dinner, or we may need to go to the basement. And if we don't have something safe to lay our babies, then we're more prone to putting them in an unsafe environment.
That's Chantel Roberts here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cash. She is creator of the Portable Alternative Crib. She's talking about her mission to provide families with a safe place for babies to sleep. Where does your interest in safe sleeping for babies come from?
In 2009, I was a new parent. I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, and after the very short illness, she died in 2011. It was at that point, I was probably at the lowest I've ever been in my life. And I took an interest in infant mortality. Because that was a very traumatic experience for myself and for my family. And understanding the trauma behind it and preventative measures that could have been in place that could have maybe stopped that from happening, or I didn't want to see that happen to mm-hmm. someone else. Mm-hmm. So I created the nonprofit organization, Touching Young Lives Incorporated, as a way to bring awareness to best practices for proper hygienic uses and safe sleep.
And what does Touching Young Lives do?
We were a very grassroots organization. We partner with Head Start programs and daycare centers to bring awareness to best practices for safe sleep. Very simple partnering for holidays. We donated toys, all with the concept of having public education around those topics each time. It wasn't until I got accepted into the Social Innovation Lab for this idea that we took on such a bigger initiative.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How did pursuing your mission of safe sleep connect you to the Johns Hopkins Social Innovation Lab?
So in April 2016, I just passed my 1-year anniversary. I started working at Healthcare Access Maryland as a safe sleep coordinator. So in 2009, like you mentioned before, the Be More for Healthy Babies Safe Sleep Initiative was launched. And as a partner in that coalition with the health department, Healthcare Access Maryland serves as an entity, the department that I work in, care coordination. We act as liaisons for some of our most vulnerable populations to link them to resources that lead them to be the best possible versions of themselves. So as the safe sleep coordinator, I'm able to go into communities and actually go into homes and provide families in need with a safe sleeping space by way of a pack and play, which is a portable crib, and also give them safe sleep education, talk about family planning and birth spacing, link them to other resources. And that is where I actually got the idea for the pack, because some of my families had very limited space. So the pack and play, the portable crib, was way too big. So I know that, or I knew in those times, that when I left, those families wouldn't use the pack and play because it was an inconvenience in the home. And then also understanding that Be More for Healthy Babies is an initiative of Baltimore City, I couldn't help when I receive referrals for families outside of the city. And I would always think about those moms or those families because those babies also need somewhere to sleep. And after learning about the baby box and seeing it and falling in love with it, that's an initiative I wanted to launch in Baltimore.
And so you sought out the Johns Hopkins Social Innovation Lab?
I did. They actually, in September, they had a Social Innovation Lab boot camp. And I learned about the Social Innovation Lab that day. It was a Saturday. And I looked them up. I said, okay, they have a free boot camp. I guess I can look up, you know, who this place is. And I saw they were accepting members for their next cohort. The application period closed within 48 hours the following Monday. And I applied. And from that application, I was invited for an interview. And from the interview, I was accepted into the cohort. And that made all the difference.
Why did it make all the difference?
That was the best 6 months of my life. Through the cohort, it was a six-month period. We were afforded mentorship and funding, and we got it was very structured. We were held so accountable, and we were given just so many tools and resources to help launch our initiatives. This year, the focus was on social impact. So all of the ventures were geared towards fixing social issues in Baltimore. There were some amazing people in my cohort, and I can't wait to see the differences that they're going to make.
We need to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about the role of Healthcare Access Maryland in this. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. The ABCs of Safe Sleep for Babies, as we heard in the first segment, are A for alone, B for on their back, C for crib, D for don't smoke. What if a family doesn't have a crib? My guest Chantel Roberts is working to make sure no baby goes without a safe sleeping environment. She designed the portable alternative crib and recently won $25,000 from the Johns Hopkins Social Innovation Lab to fund her mission. Let's bring Tracy Kodak into this conversation. She's the new president and CEO of Healthcare Access Maryland, HCAM, a nonprofit that helps residents connect to health coverage and navigate the healthcare system. HCAM also works to sign residents up for the state's online health insurance exchange. Thanks for being here, Tracy.
Thank you, Sheila.
Who does HCAM serve?
So HCAM serves Maryland residents really across the state. Our focus historically has been Baltimore City residents when we were established in 1997, back when Medicaid changed to a managed care model. So we're very focused on Baltimore City, and we collaborate with the Baltimore City Health Department often. But we are Healthcare Access Maryland, so we serve anyone who's in need of health insurance, as well as the very vulnerable populations that need more assistance.
And walk us through the services from pregnancy to after the baby is born that expecting mothers could get connected to through HCAM.
Absolutely. So this is Baltimore City specific, and we receive referrals from Medicaid OB providers on any woman that's pregnant in Baltimore City. There's about 6,000 Medicaid births in Baltimore City every year, and our hope is to ensure that those women are connected to OB services, wraparound support services such as home visiting, seeing Chantel as a safe sleep coordinator if they need access to a safe place for their baby to sleep. We ensure that they also get connected to mental health and substance abuse services and anything else related to health education, as well as ensuring that they understand their health benefits, either pregnant, postpartum, or for their newborn.
HCAM provides support for two of Be More Healthy Babies programs, Project Hope, which assists women who have experienced a fetal or infant loss, and the Safe Sleep Project. Tell us about Project Hope.
Sure. So we've been working with Project Hope for several years, and I think that's actually how Chantel got referred to us initially. She was actually a client of ours, and I know she's very comfortable in saying that, for bereavement services. And so one of the things that we went out and had a nurse or social worker meet with her and ensure that she was connected to bereavement services.
So earlier when I mentioned in 2011 when I lost my daughter, I was connected to an organization, the Center for Infant and Child Loss, and they actually act as a liaison between the medical examiner's office and the family. And one referral that they submitted for me was through, at the time, Baltimore Healthcare Access Maryland, and which is now
Healthcare Access
Maryland. And I had a nurse care coordinator come out. First time I invited a complete stranger into my home. And it was the most refreshing experience I ever had. It was the first time I had a completely objective person to tell my story, to just talk to. She didn't say much. She let me talk. And she was a resource. You know, she asked, what did I need? How I felt. It was just refreshing to just have a voice. And during that very whirlwind of a time. After then, I was able to be linked to bereavement and grief services. And it was that very pivotal time that I was able to then channel that grief and that pain into something more purposeful. And shortly thereafter, I incorporated my nonprofit. And Tracy and I like to joke about it, the client to coordinator story, that 5 years later, I applied for and was able to get the job as a safe sleep coordinator. And it's oftentimes that I'm able to use my story of how I was once a client and I suffered a loss to relate to my clients that don't think that something like SIDS can happen to them, especially for my younger moms, because at the time, I believe I was 24. And that is very much a target demographic for us when you look at the numbers. I remember at one point looking, between 2009 and 2015, we had 106 sleep-related infant deaths. And of those babies, 38% of them, the parents were aged 20 to 24. And that was so much more impactful when I could see that my daughter was one of those babies and I was one of those parents. And so for me, I had to step back from that and receive it, that I was a statistic. I was one of those unfortunate statistics.
But so much more than a statistic that you've created from it. Tracy, do you know what the history of these bereavement services are? How did HCAM realize what the need was for these kinds of services?
So back when I oversaw the maternal child health program around 2006, 2007, we started working very closely with Mercy Medical Center, and there was a group that meets, which is called FEMR, Fetal Infant Mortality Review. FEMR is staffed by community partners, OB providers, pediatricians that really look at what's going on in the city with fetal and infant losses. And it was determined that we wanted to start a pilot project with Mercy Medical Center to really identify the best practices in referring moms who had a loss. And Mercy has the highest births in Baltimore City. We've also had relationships with the Center for Infant and Child Loss for a very long time. They were also at the table in FEMR. And how can we improve services to moms that are experiencing a loss and support them through this process, especially if there's some type of investigation? The police are always in the home anytime there's a loss. The other piece to know is that we have a lot more work to do. January through April, there have been, last time it was reported from the health department, 6 sleep-related deaths in Baltimore City. And that's 6 too many. And that's only in the first 4 months of this calendar year. So we have a lot more work to do. Chantel has a lot more work to do to ensure that families are putting their kids in a safe environment, that they're not sleeping with their children. And as a single mom myself, I can understand and appreciate how new moms get tired and they just want to sleep with their kids. And oftentimes we find that it's not even the mom, that it's family members or grandparents that are potentially watching the kids. So we have a lot more work to do.
That's Tracy Kodek here on The Record on WIPR. She's president and CEO of Healthcare Access Maryland. Also with us is Chantel Roberts, designer of the Portable Alternative Crib and the Safe Sleep Coordinator for Baltimore City. We're talking about keeping babies safe while they sleep, as well as services available for low-income mothers across the state. Chantel, I'm not sure that I fully understand what you do as Safe Sleep Coordinator. What does that role entail?
So essentially, I receive referrals from all over the city, from healthcare providers, from nurses, social workers, families themselves that have identified moms in need, very few times dads as well, that are in need of safe sleeping spaces for their babies. A traditional crib, a traditional bassinet, or at the very minimum, a pack and play. I receive a referral pending they qualify typically financially, and the biggest qualification is that they are a Baltimore City resident. I'm able to schedule a time for me to go out. I am able to allot them a free pack and play and education around best practices for safe sleep, family planning options, birth spacing, and I'm able to link them to other resources that can help them become the best possible versions of themselves. So that sometimes is linking them to women and children to ensure that they have, you know, formula or other nutritious options for themselves, especially for our breastfeeding moms, because we know that moms that exclusively breastfeed for up to 6 months at least significantly cut down the opportunity for a SIDS-related death. We also have our BHOP department at Healthcare Access Maryland that assists with eviction prevention and rapid rehousing for our families that are in financial distraint, and we see that often.
This CRIB initiative has been going on almost 10 years, since 2007, and falls under the Be More for Healthy Babies initiative to really ensure that families had a safe place for their kids to sleep. And it's expanded over the past 10 years. And actually, we created a position that's funded through the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene for this very initiative.
How many home visits does HCAM make each year?
We serve over 145,000 individuals in one given year. Sometimes we see an individual on one occasion. Sometimes it's through the phone. But I would have to guess over 300,000 home visits a year.
And how many of those involve an expectant mother or a new baby?
I would have to say anywhere between 4,000 to 6,000 home visits, probably more. We oftentimes try to reach the mom. These are really hard to locate moms sometimes, and we will go out to the home once or twice. The house may be boarded up from the address that we have, so we really have to be more like investigators to really try and find that pregnant mom and connect her to services.
Chantel, what do you hear from the families and parents when you explain to them the best way for a baby to sleep?
Especially in homes of like multi-generational houses, so you may have a grandmother, a mother, other family members, they remember a time when some of these practices were different. For instance, when it was common for babies to sleep on their stomach, or when that was the recommended way, and then that evolved to the baby sleeping on their side, which ultimately now it has evolved to the baby sleeping on their back is the best way for them to sleep. That's always a good conversation, and I love when I can have multiple generations or dads inclusive or other caregivers that could be possibly caring for the baby are present for that conversation so that we're all on one accord. The messaging isn't misconstrued. It is very much what it is. And I'm able to get those very intimate and what they sometimes think are stupid questions that are not stupid at all. Those are new mom questions, or they are just information that they don't know. And that's something that we're finding is that some of these sleep-related deaths, the parents either are not informed on what the best practices are, or they just don't have a mechanism for the baby to sleep in to practice the safe sleep.
What are your plans, Chantel, for the portable alternative crib now?
Well, I actually am launching a pilot in July, which I'm really excited about, which I am doing a 100-box campaign where I'm selling 100 boxes, and the pricing model is set up to fund the first 100 subset of portable alternative cribs to go to our most vulnerable populations, and that would be our homeless and very transient that I spoke to about earlier. And from there, I am hoping to have great success and to expand across the state of Maryland to reach our most vulnerable families.
What does a box cost?
The price of one box is $75, and for two is $150.
I wish you luck.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I appreciate you both talking to us about this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chantel Roberts is designer of the Portable Alternative Crib and the executive director of Touching Young Lives, a nonprofit. She is the Safe Sleep Coordinator through Healthcare Access Maryland for Baltimore City under the Be More Healthy Babies Safe Sleep Initiative. Tracy Kodak is president and CEO of Healthcare Access Maryland. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we've got more information about the Be More for Healthy Babies Safe Sleep Initiative and Touching Young Lives. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.